past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Citizen.
That's right. Scream. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
What's it going to be, my friend? Paris, London, New York, Madrid, or Moscow? We will find out in a matter of minutes, really, where the 2012 Summer Games will be.
I'm on the record.
Hillary Clinton dragged Muhammad Ali to Singapore to try and, to do the dance.
All
for the committee.
For nothing.
It ain't going to happen for New York. That's what you're saying, Riley.
I got my spot in Macy's window if New York gets the bid.
I guess we're going to know in about an hour or so.
7:43 a.m. Eastern.
Hey, there might be a surprise, dude. There's going to be a surprise.
Just the surprise will not be New York.
Okay, all right. Hey, if you want to know what the definition of treason is, it is a violation of allegiance towards one's country, especially the betrayal of one's country, maybe waging war against it, or by consciously and purposely acting to aid its enemies. That would be the one that will hang on Karl Rove this morning. Karl Rove has committed treason. He is guilty of treason, I believe. That is what I'm going to say on the record. What we know, Time Incorporated turned over Cooper's notes. Matt Cooper, the reporter from Time Magazine, who didn't want his notes turned over, but they turned them over because the grand jury wanted to know who leaked Valerie Plame's name. Dig. Rove talked to Cooper more than once. That's on the record. Rove's lawyer said that his client, quote, never knowingly disclosed classified information, unquote. In the statute dealing with the issue of disclosing classified info, Rove has told Cooper the info knowing that the information disclosed so identifies such covert agent and that the United States is taking affirmative measures to conceal such covert agents' intelligence relationship to the United States. Now, Riley, let's be honest. The idea that Rove doesn't know anything that he's doing is crazy. No?
Well, of course it's crazy, but that's what he's going to hide behind. This is, as Larry O'Donnell, who really kind of sort of broke this the other day,
says. Larry O'Donnell from the McLaughlin Group.
Yeah, that's right. Larry O'Donnell says this is the I didn't inhale defense.
Mm-hmm.
That Karl Rove met with Cooper. But never knowingly, and that's the operative phrase, knowingly dropped this. Now, there's a court hearing today at which two very good reporters may well go to jail because the prosecutor in this case, who impaneled a grand jury to find out exactly who leaked what to whom, is threatening both Matt Cooper and Judith Miller with jail as early as today.
Real jail. Judith Miller has asked for home detention. And they're saying, no, you're going to go to real jail. And it's interesting because the prosecutor requested this knowing that it would bully her into fessing up, turning over resources. They're trying to manipulate her by the threat of jail, obviously. And they're trying to make it as heavy as possible. Man, they threaten Matt Cooper, real prison.
Well, yeah, and see, the thing is, they don't really need Matt Cooper now. They got his notes already. But Fitzgerald, the prosecutor, is saying they still want him to testify before the grand jury. And you're right. They're saying Judith Miller shouldn't get home detention because there should be some, and I'm using his words, coercive effect.
So, Matthew Cooper's notes have Rove being talked to by Cooper three or four times. And again, the statute dealing with the issue of disclosing classified information in that Rove has to have told Matthew Cooper the information, quote, knowing that the information disclosed so identifies such covert agent and that the United States is taking affirmative measures to conceal such covert agent's intelligence relationship to the United States. End quote. The idea that Karl Rove didn't know, ridiculous. Therefore, Karl Rove is guilty of treason. That's it.
Well, you know
what I'm saying.
The dates match here, and if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck,
put it in jail.
It's not a pigeon.
Put it in jail.
I mean, look, the time that all of this happened was around the same time that Rove acknowledges he met with Matt Cooper, July 2003.
Yeah, on the global front, new info has it that Bin Laden, that is Osama Bin Laden, his deputy Zawahiri, and Mullah Mohammed Omar might be hiding along along the Afghan-Pakistan border. The region is as it was before we, quote-unquote, won the war. It's a hotbed of Taliban activity. There's a lot of violence going on in Afghanistan. Afghanistan's government has sharply criticized the U.S. military for killing 17 civilians in an airstrike and ordered an immediate inquiry. This goes to show, let me be honest with you, this can only mean one thing to me, Riley, that is that Hamid Karzai's government is getting the hang of this politics thing.
Well, see, what we have going on here are escalating tensions that have been beneath the surface for some time between Afghanistan and Pakistan. It is the Pakistanis' contention, and I think that a lot of people would bear this out, that Karzai doesn't even control the south of Afghanistan.
Well, I think
he has no control over that region of the country
whatsoever.
And the question of, and remember now, Karzai's government is a U.S.-installed government.
That's what I'm saying. So by him standing up to the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just saying, oops, you know, there they go again, you know, is really, I'm sure that he said, you guys are bad and you'll have to answer for this. And then he called the U.S. officials that said, okay, it wasn't too harsh, was it? It was okay?
Well, what ended up happening was, of course, he got smacked in the back of the head by the Pakistanis,
mm-hmm.
also our allies, led by Musharraf.
Very delicate.
Well, yeah, supposedly our allies. And they're going back and forth about exactly where these miscreants are without ever asking the question, how come, although Porter Goss says he has an excellent idea, how come nobody else in America knows where they are?
Porter Goss, what's he holding on to that idea for?
Right, he's holding on to a dream is what he's holding on to.
All these people have this idea, and it's always in the same vague area, you know?
Yeah.
But, the truth of the matter about Afghanistan is things are bad there. I mean, in the mountains of the Kunar province bordering Pakistan, U.S. forces are still searching for the last missing member of that Navy SEALs unit that went missing like June 28th.
Well, and see, people should not underestimate the significance of that either, Mark, because what they're doing, what that says is that they're using special ops people in
as
the south of
Africa.
Yeah, instead of committing, you know, large numbers of regular troops, they're using SEALs. They're using special forces. They're using these different specialized elite units in that part of the country, and still they don't have any luck.
And these poor guys got ambushed, two of them were killed, and then they sent a helicopter in with 16 troops to find them, and that got shot down.
Yeah.
I mean, it is still seriously a bad situation in Afghanistan. You don't hear much about that in the press at all. Shifting gears a little bit, and then we're going to get back to Afghanistan, we're going to get back to Iraq, because there is a group of second-tier right-wing radio personalities who are going to Iraq on what they call the truth tour, or what I like to call the jingoistic lie junket, to reveal the truth about Iraq. That their claims are that the media doesn't give us the whole story. Let me tell you something. If the media gave us the whole story, it would be much worse. You know, they seem to balance certain things out. We'll get into that in a second. And one other story I just wanted to tip before we go, look, if you think you're bisexual.
Here we go.
Okay, well, listen. If you think you're bisexual, apparently there's been a study. I'm sorry, Bab. You all right, buddy?
No, I'm listening.
I just wanted to give you a heads up that they've done a survey. They've done a study. All right.
Uh-huh.
And a psychologist directly measured genital arousal patterns in response to images of men and women of men who claim that they're bisexual. And the subjects, the psychologist found that men who identified themselves as bisexual were, in fact, exclusively aroused by either one sex or the other, usually by men.
I used to love the fat guys.
So we'll get more into it. You all right?
Wait a minute. So that means you're either straight, gay, or lying? Is that what you're saying?
Basically, that's how it goes, and that's what they say.
DL.
That's right.
A whole different significance in the black community,
uh-huh.
because there's been this whole thing about down-low black men,
sure.
where, guys have been with both men
sure.
and women,
sure.
and the women
gay.
And guys, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, but who didn't know that? I mean, I knew that.
Did
but,
you?
Well, have you ever...
Did you know that about Kalo?
Well, sure, I knew that. But the sad thing about that is Kalo doesn't know that about Kalo.
Oh.
So let me get this straight. So
oh,
a woman, what about a woman?
This is just about
men.
It's
different.
It's
only about
men.
Study has nothing to do with women. I guess they're like,
just
wow, that's going to be difficult. Let's keep it with men. But isn't that weird? They just stuck these guys in a room, and they're like, they're like, how's this? There's a couple of guys doing it. And they must have had electrodes hooked up to their genitals like,
I know that must have been some experience.
Yeah,
huh?
I don't know if I could do with that pressure. You know, I can. You know, I don't know. Could you do it with electrodes?
I'm not, it'd be kind of like making a porn movie or something, wouldn't it?
With electrodes on? What kind
of?
Well,
I mean, you'd have to perform.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
You know?
You'd have to perform and just sit there. It's like I'm trying. Like you see how Pashman's in the booth over there. You just see like four or five scientists, and you're sitting there in front of a monitor watching gay porn.
Are you there yet?
And they're looking at you. You know. All right.
And you would kind of feel bad if you didn't get aroused. You know. Like, oh, guys, come on.
I don't want to let you guys down. You know, I'm trying over here. So we'll get back into the jingoistic junket of lies in a second, Iraq in a second. Remember, Karl Rove committed treason. He's going down. He's a traitor. Is that what that would be?
Allegedly.
Certainly. No. You can, go ahead, say what you want. I'm saying he's going. I'd like him to go down. He might hide behind the word knowingly. It's 16 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Hi, this is Mark Maron's mom, and you're listening to my son and his friend Mark Riley. They're very good boys. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
On Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. We're going to be broadcasting live from Box Pop Coffee Shop on Cortelyou Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn this Friday. So you can come down and see me and Mark in person. We'll be giving away free coffee, free books, free subscriptions to Film Movement, plus more goodies. Someone's going to tell me what Film Movement is in just a second, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah.
You can meet the Morning Sedition crew, of course, including Lawton Smalls and Cardinal Milvington and Johnny K Street and the whole gang. You're going to be there, my friend, right?
I'll be there.
K-Well will be here in the booth running it as if it were a spaceship.
Uh-oh.
That's what he does. He just sits here at the console and runs us like a spaceship. So what's it going to be? Paris, London, New York, Madrid, or Moscow? Who's going to get the 2012 games? We'll know in about an hour, apparently. Someone's going to call us directly.
We don't know.
Yeah. Riley says no way it's going to be New York. Riley's going with London.
I'm going with London in a surprise upset.
So wait, should we take some money? Should we take some bets? You know what?
Where's Johnny when we need him?
That's right. I'm going to take Paris. I'll bet you $10.
$10? Well, Paris is kind of, that's the other one.
Just take the bet,
all
Riley.
Right,
it's radio.
The bet. Paris.
Oh, my
$10
God.
$10 on Paris.
Hey, folks, it's now okay to podcast Morning Sedition. You can take Morning Sedition with you in your MP3 player. Go to morningsedition.com. Click on the podcast link to download recent shows. That's how my wife listens to us. Because she likes to sleep in, my wife. All right, look, I've always thought, and I had an argument with a guy the other night about this, Riley, you know, who says, you know, the media is showing that we're losing the war. Believe me, this whole right-wing frame of the media not depicting the war properly, not depicting the war as a success. Believe me, if the media showed exactly what was going on in Iraq, it would be twice as bad as it is now. What the media does is it shows a little bit of the disasters, and then it shows, you know, a lot of support. And momentum, you know, for the troops, and then it shows a little tidbits of what might be going well, but if they really did their job, Iraq would look much worse than it does. So the right's claim that the media misrepresents this war is BS. Now, this is what is really heinous. There's a group of, like, you know, second and third tier radio journalists from around the country.
Not journalists.
Radio personalities, talk show personalities, certainly not journalists. All right, they are going to Iraq. All right, they are going to Iraq on something they're calling the Truth Tour, what I will call the Jingoistic Lie Junket. It is being sponsored by a conservative web radio group called RightTalk.com and Move America Forward, a nonprofit conservative group. The reason they say they are going, Riley, it is because of mainstream media bias and what they see as misrepresentation of a war we are clearly winning, according to them. They say that negative views are bad for the troops' morale, so they are going to cheer them up with their naivete and their denial, Riley.
Well, you know, who are these people?
Exactly.
Now, here's a quote.
Melanie Morgan from San Francisco.
From San Francisco. All right, now, here's what Melanie Morgan says. Now, she's co-chair of Move America Forward. She's going to be on the C-130, because I guarantee it'll be a C-130 to take these geeks over there. This is what she says, quote, "War is war, and it's dangerous, and the killing is taking place all of the time. At the same time, where there is danger, there is success, and there is a mainstream media that is determined to shut out that success." Where there is danger, there is success.
And also,
what English class does she get thrown out of?
Well, I think this is a very staged propaganda event that these people are doing. And these aren't, like I said, these are not top-notch radio personalities. These are just sort of a bunch of, you know, minor players who have gotten together their own money and the backing of these groups, and they're going to go there and rough it in the green zone and be driven around by a military escort who's going to show them the two or three things that are going well in Iraq, and this is primarily to serve as propaganda for whatever small or medium listenership these people have to justify something. And she also said this, Melanie Morgan, quote, Vietnam, that the media is imposing a, quote, Vietnam template on this war. This is not Vietnam. War is war. That was the beginning of the quote that you said, and I'll be honest with you. Look, Vietnam was a guerrilla war. A guerrilla war is defined as guerrilla tactics are based on ambush and sabotage, and their ultimate objective is usually to destabilize an authority through long, low-intensity confrontation. It can be quite successful against an unpopular foreign regime. A guerrilla army may increase the cost of maintaining an occupation or a colonial presence above what the foreign power may wish to bear. Now, Vietnam is a guerrilla war. This is a guerrilla war. If it quacks like a duck, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If the template fits, you know, put it on there.
But you know what, Mark? We got to look at this in terms of the media itself. What do second and third tier talk show hosts want more than anything else in the world?
Ratings.
To be first tier talk show hosts.
Right.
How do you become a first tier talk show host? By raising your profile. How better to raise your profile than to be quoted in the national press going on a junket that is in part, they say, oh, I spend $15,000. Did you rent your own C-130, pal? I don't think so.
No.
The American military is flying them over there. But this little junket of theirs is as much to raise their profile to try and move their own careers forward,
right,
as anything else.
But, yeah, and it's also kissing up to the Republican administration.
Of course.
Exactly.
So now they'll get invited to broadcast from Washington.
But the bottom line is that these people are not journalists. There was another quote that said the group here, this is great. This guy, Mark Williams, a talk show host from Sacramento, says, quote, the group will report what we see and what we are told. We've talked to real journalists in Iraq, and we're going to hear from them when we come back. So please, don't go anywhere. Also, Lawton Smalls is coming up. I hear he's going on that junket.
Whoa.
Yes, that's coming up here on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark. It's 27 past the hour.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hiya.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. Look, Moscow, London, Paris, New York. What's it going to be?
Madrid.
Who's it? What? What? You say New York's out? There's a rumor that Moscow's out. I don't know, man. I'm putting my money on Paris. I'm putting $10 on that. You got $10 on London.
I got $10 on London.
We're going to find out in about an hour. Folks, we're going to be broadcasting live from Vox Pop Coffee Shop on Cortelyou Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn. This Friday, come see me and Mark in person. We'll be giving away free coffee, free books, a free subscription to Film Movement. Someone's going to come in and brief me on that.
By the way, we just got the latest rumor.
What?
New York's out.
It's breaking news.
It's breaking news.
Yes.
It's news. New York is out, just like I told you.
Okay, fine.
No
fine.
Macy's window for moi.
Okay, fine. You don't have to dance naked, but you still might have to give me $10 if Paris wins.
Oh, wow.
You got
Paris Hilton?
Yeah. Where are you going, man?
I'm sorry.
Where are we going?
I didn't want to go there.
That's all right, buddy. You had to. I understand. So we were talking about, before we went on the break, this group of right-wing, second-tier radio talk show personalities.
Second?
Third tier,
you
second, third
them?
Tier. Melanie Morgan, whoever the hell she is, apparently she's relatively important to a few people in the Bay Area. But they're going there on what they call a truth tour, what I call the jingoistic lie junket. And I think that the bottom line is they're going there because they think that the media is misrepresenting the Iraq conflict and that it's bad for morale and the troops to show how bad it is without showing how good it is. And I believe that if the media were to really show what was going going on in its entirety, it would be much worse. Now, I just want to reach out to Melanie Morgan, who has got a mouth on her, a condescending mouth, nonetheless, to sort of imply arrogantly that she understands war, that she understands what's going on there, and she's going to go there and ferret out the truth. If I can quote one of her comrades who is going over there as well, his name is Mark Williams, a talk show host in Sacramento, said, quote, "The group will report what we see and what we are told."
Yeah.
End quote. Well, that's good that he's going to come back with what the military escort tells him and what they drag him around to see in the model of Rock City. These guys are the worst example of exploiting the war for their own careers and for the Republican Party. We've talked to real journalists, but I just want to hit Melanie Morgan to something. This is the last few days in Iraq. In the last few days in Iraq, insurgents attacked Arab and Muslim diplomats. That was on Tuesday, wounding Bahrain's top envoy in a kidnapping attempt. Pakistan's ambassador escaped an attack on his convoy, and he's been advised to leave the country for a while. Two cars belonging to the Russian embassy in Baghdad came under fire, but no one was injured. Ihad al-Sharif, an Egyptian diplomat, was kidnapped. The Zarqawi's Al-Qaeda Iraq branch is claiming responsibility. They are trying to scare Muslim countries out of doing business with an American-occupied Iraq. A U.S. soldier was killed and two were wounded by a roadside bomb outside of Baghdad. Two suicide bombers wounded four U.S. Marines in the western town of Hit. Gunmen ambushed a minibus taking seven Baghdad airport employees to work. They killed four women and injured three men. A roadside bomb blast and a firefight killed two Iraqi soldiers and wounded seven other on the outskirts of Abu Ghraib district. A mortar attack missed a U.S. base and struck central Samarra, killing a 13-year-old girl and wounding four civilians. Another mortar attack killed two sisters, 120 and 130, just north of Ramadi. This is 3 days, man. On a good note, the government in Iraq has reported some success in bringing the Sunni majority into the fold. Some within the community are calling for unity and urging them to take part in the elections. But that's it. I mean, let's be honest.
Hey, that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, but in reaction to the template of Vietnam fits this war, and the bottom line is the troops should be brought home and the president should be impeached for lying to us and getting us into this situation. Even Chuck Hagel, a Republican who happens to be practical, says, look, the only way to honor the troops is to, give them a plan, for God's sakes. You want to fluff them up with some propaganda and some barbecued ribs like this jingoistic lie junket? Or do you want to give them a plan so they can have some hope that there's an end to this thing, or they feel like they're being supported by their government in even the least of ways? The Bush administration just kind of says, what? Rumsfeld says, 6, 12, 10, 15 years. Who the hell
knows?
We might be there till the end of time. We might cause the end of time.
Well, the amazing thing is they talk about this template from Vietnam. The thing that people don't remember, apparently these talk show hosts from the coast don't remember about Vietnam, was that we got nothing but good news from Vietnam. Through most of the conflict, we were getting casualty figures that made it sound like America was winning the war hands down.
Mm.
People forget that. At the end of the day, 5,000 Viet Cong killed. American troops, 5.
Mm.
And that was supposed, until 1973, that's all the news we ever got.
They should make a plan to bring the troops home and impeach the president and put Karl Rove in jail. We're going to talk about that a little more in a second. Right now, we have talked to real journalists on the ground in Iraq that have no, they are real journalists. They are not biased. They are not partisan.
And soldiers.
They are there doing the real work, and these people are going there to be given a tour of what, America hopes Iraq will be to pander to propaganda interests, to pander to Republican interests, to pander to their listenership. We have talked to, first we'll hear from Aiden Delgado, who was a former Army reservist, and he talked about how some American soldiers treated the Iraqis in his unit.
Guys in my unit used to drive by in their Humvee and break bottles over Iraqis' heads. And to even say that has provoked an enormous outpouring of hatred and venom against me.
For what?
The fact is,
for telling the truth?
But, I mean, people would flatly deny that what I saw happened.
That was Aiden Delgado on our show talking about his unit. Now, obviously, I'm not trying to characterize all American troops, my friends. There's plenty of American troops that are being decent, troops.
Decent human beings over there.
Here's Mick Ware, Michael Ware, Times Magazine's Baghdad bureau chief, one of our favorite guests on our show back in June.
Well, look, with all due respect to the president and the administration, what we say we came here to prevent and to stymie We have spawned. We have fostered it. These guys were hunting around for a platform to make jihad, to breed the new generation. September 11 was by the generation who fought the Soviet jihad. Well, they needed somewhere to blood the new generation, and we've given it to them.
That was Mick Ware, Time Magazine's Baghdad bureau chief, on our show in June. Now, this was the most profound to me. Rod Nordland, former Newsweek Baghdad bureau chief, who went to Iraq supporting the Iraq war, spent 2 years there. When he was leaving, we talked to him on the phone about what's going on the ground, the truth.
There wasn't a plan in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They kept talking about, you know, we have a plan. There is a plan. In fact, there never was a plan, and not one that was in any kind of form they could implement. And there isn't an exit strategy beyond training the Iraqi forces until they get to the point where they can actually take over. But that may be many, many years. And that, I guess, is what amounts to our exit strategy, but it's not much of one.
Is there anything changing on the ground there that you can see that could provide, you know, any hope or any progress in terms of either the people in Iraq or rebuilding or anything?
No.
That was Rod Nordland, his former Newsweek Baghdad bureau chief, who had went to Iraq in support of the Iraq war, in support of what the president wanted to do there, and that's what he came out with after 2 years. These are real journalists. These are people that spent time embedded. These are people that spent time on the ground for years. These are people that developed relationships with Iraqis and Americans. These are the people doing the real work. Melanie Morgan and her junket of idiots who are going to Iraq to put more spin on a situation that really deserves more truth, so we can, you know, put a plan in place to bring the troops home, impeach this president, or at least draw attention to the fact that this thing was a sham to just fill the pockets of the military contractors and, you know, consolidate the oil resources of the region. It's just, that's a reality. And anybody that doesn't see it that way is stupid, because the truth of the matter is there wasn't terrorists when we went there. There was no connection between Iraq and terrorism. What we have now is about 16,000, you know, practicing jihadists. You have to remember, Osama bin Laden made his bones fighting against the Russians in Afghanistan at the behest of the Americans. Now this new generation of aspiring jihadists and terrorists are making their bones fighting against Americans in Iraq. That's what we're spawning. We're spawning a new generation of global terrorism. That is the truth. I wonder if Melanie Morgan's going to come back with any of that information for us. Look, we're going to parse out some of this other stuff. We're going to talk about Alberto Gonzalez in a little while. We're going to talk about Karl Rove and his treasonous behavior. He should be put in jail. We're also going to, you know, lighten it up a little bit in a few minutes. We're going to play you Lawton Smalls from yesterday's show, because Lawton Smalls is actually going on the junket with Melanie Morgan. Is that all right, Riley? Can we play that next?
Sure.
All right. It's 43 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition.
Just wake up.
Mark Merrill and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
Past the hour, Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio. Hope you're having a fairly pleasant Wednesday morning. Look, Moscow out, New York out, Madrid out, down to Paris and London, Riley. It's down to me and you, buddy, for
$10. $10.
You don't have to dance naked in Macy's window, as you said you would if New York got it yesterday.
Yeah, well, I knew New York. Now, why would anyone in their right mind think that New York was going
to
get this?
I knew, because Hillary Clinton went to Singapore with Muhammad Ali. Why else not?
Did she build a stadium?
Who knows?
No.
The stadium. They said it was going to be built.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, sometimes when you read the headlines, it's hard to figure out what they're saying. Thank God I have this iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. Let's feed it some headlines. From Fox News, my friends. From Fox News, Bush set for G8 summit. Bush set for G8 summit. Translation, Bush goes in armed with lies, evasions, and folksy non sequiturs. There you go. From the New York Times, costly race for Olympic bid reaches its frenzied finish. Translation, exhausting bribing season near end. From the Herald, study finds men cope with pain better than women. Study finds men cope with pain better than women. Translation, women agree, hand over job of birthing children. Right. That was okay. So look, speaking about that, well, we're going to be broadcasting live from Vox Pop Coffee Shop on Cortelyou Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn this Friday. Come, please, see us. Hang out. We'll be giving away stuff, coffee, yeah, free books, things. Since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world. So now is the latest from him. So how are you? Is that Planet Bush Bureau Chief Lawton Smalls? Good morning, Lawton.
Good morning, Mark. You can't touch me either.
Yeah.
God's behind the grill, and he's cooking up freedom.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Freedom.
Yeah, I hear you. So how was the big 4th of July on Planet Bush here, Lawton?
Even an America hater like you would have loved it. First, there was a red, white, and blue parade down Main Street.
Uh-huh.
I played the sousaphone in the marching Uncle Sam band.
Yeah.
We did a Toby Keith medley and marched behind anti-Social Security float. Then we all gathered in the town square where some grade school kids reenacted 9/11.
Oh, my God.
The Siege of Baghdad and the Terry Schiavo vigil.
Wow.
Cute, cute kids. Then there were fireworks, and my favorite one was a display in sparklers of President George W. Two-Terms Mandate Bush refusing to sign the Kyoto Treaty.
It was fireworks,
all
huh?
in fireworks.
Wow.
It was something that you should have seen it,
yeah.
Mark. It's unbelievable.
I tell you, I'd like to just see if they could pull that off. So
They
did, huh? Was there a barbecue or anything like that?
Are you kidding me? We fired enough beef to choke a horse, Mark.
Oh,
Mad
man.
Cow hasn't reached Planet Bush, that's for sure. And then after the barbecue, when everyone was all bloated and sleepy, I read aloud to all the folks from the Declaration of Independence.
Wow, that doesn't sound too crazy, I guess.
Mark, have you ever bothered to read the Declaration?
Yes, I have, Lawton. Thank you very much, and thanks for patronizing me.
You haven't read this one.
Uh-huh.
I have a special copy of the Declaration I got from Bob Jones University.
Oh, great.
I think it's important people should hear exactly what the Founding Fathers intended for this country. Can I read a little bit?
No, do I have a choice?
Right,
do I have a choice here?
Here it comes. When in the course of human events,
yeah,
it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, red states from blue states, conservatives from Jesus-hating, bong-sucking liberals.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah. Well, I'm sure Thomas Jefferson would use the word bong.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Uh-huh.
That homosexuals in tight go-go shorts shall not be allowed to marry like regular people.
Whoa, wait. Go-go shorts. Yeah, that's very 1776, my
that
friend.
That tax cuts are sacred, as it was written in the New Testament.
The
earth and sky and water is all ours.
Mm-hmm.
And don't belong to the tree-hugging Birkenstockers who want to wreck the economy.
Wait a minute.
Now, we are required to attack Muslims before they attack us.
Wait, that's not in there.
People who vaguely resemble them attack us.
What is that?
That the press shall be cheerful in times of war, even when all evidence is to the contrary.
What? This is all fiction. This is not. It's got nothing to do with the Declaration of Independence. You need to get your money back.
That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, especially if the president's caught receiving oral sex from a fat intern.
So how about lies? How about lies about getting us into a war? Where's that one?
Big finish. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, yes, it is.
And we crapped all over it. Big old pile of right-wing Bob Jones crap. We ruined everything good. That's why we can't have nice things. This is going to come out of my allowance. Sorry, Dave.
Take it easy, man.
Can't have nice
things. You're going to be all right.
We have to live with crap.
Okay. Pull it together. Wait, I thought I didn't even yell at you this time.
I was emotional.
All right. All right, let's pull it together here.
That wasn't real.
I know.
Somebody sold it to me.
Oh, it's so weird. You're right. You okay?
Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for straight white Christian men.
Geez, that's shit. Goodbye, Lawton. Goodbye.
Godless America. Deal with it.
Oh, God. Enough already. That was Lawton Smalls, who is, from what I understand, is we've been told that he's going on this this truther, this jingoistic lie junket, the truth tour with those right-wing second-tier radio personalities to Iraq to tell us the truth. So I heard that's Lawton's big plan there.
Whoa.
Yeah, how do you like that? It's down to France, Paris, France, and London, England, in terms of who's going to get the 2012 Olympics. Hillary Clinton and Muhammad Ali could not sway the committee down there in Singapore, so we'll find out what's going on with that. Also, could Alberto Gonzalez be the Democratic choice for Supreme Court justice? Is that possible? Do we need to have a conversation about that? We absolutely do need to have a conversation about that, and we will. More pressing is, do you know what treason is? Treason. Dictionary definition, violation of allegiance toward one's country, especially the betrayal of one's country by waging war against it, or, more importantly for our case, by consciously and purposely acting to aid its enemies. That's what Karl Rove did when he tipped the name of, he leaked the name of Valerie Plame, an undercover CIA operative, the wife of Ambassador Joe Wilson, and it's become clear through the Cooper papers, Matthew Cooper, Time magazine reporters, whose notes and papers were turned over by Time Incorporated to the grand jury looking into who leaked Plame's name. We had Joe Wilson on our show last year, and he had this to say. We've talked to him many times.
Yes.
And Joe Wilson, he was pretty diplomatic as an ambassador in talking about this then.
Well, that's his gig.
Right, but I've also read that he said he's not going to be happy until Karl Rove is let out of the White House in handcuffs. This is what he said to us.
If the president truly wants to get to the bottom of it, the first place he ought to go is Karl Rove's office. The investigation really starts with him. This is a political act. It was an un-American act, frankly. It was despicable.
There you go. Karl Rove is guilty of treason. And we are going to be talking to Michael Isikoff, who's keeping his hand on the pulse of this case, which is pretty nuanced, Riley,
and
fairly complicated in all its different avenues. There's the Robert Novak part. There's the Judith Miller part that has less to do with the case at hand in terms of revealing Rove because she didn't turn over her documents.
She didn't turn over her documents, but she may go to jail right along with Matthew Cooper.
And also we have the federal prosecutor. It's fairly complicated, and it deals with freedom of the press. It deals with the protection of sources, but more importantly, it deals with Karl Rove, perhaps guilty of treason. I say he is. I say put him in jail. Let's see what Michael Isikoff says.
We will do that. The architect of evil. Unmasked next on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Six past the hour, folks. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
The show is Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark here on Air America Radio. How are you, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes? Folks, we'll be broadcasting live from Box Pop Coffee Shop on Cortelia Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn, this Friday. Come on down. Hang out. It's down to New York. New York is out. Paris and London are the only two contenders left for the 2012 Olympics. We'll be getting that announcement live in about a half hour.
Yeah, we got 10 on it.
I got 10 on Paris. You got 10. But you don't have to dance naked in the window of Macy's because New York got it.
New York didn't get it. New York wasn't getting it. New York didn't have a chance of getting it.
Well, there you go. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Pakistan says Osama bin Laden may be back in South Afghanistan. In an indication of how little they know about bin Laden's whereabouts, U.S. officials will only say that he will definitely be in the last place they look. Pakistan officials said, "We know bin Laden has a summer cave in Afghanistan, and we've heard through the underground that he hasn't sublet it this year. He could be back for the annual running of the goats." A new study shows that bisexuality in men may not really exist. The study dashes the hopes of millions of overweight women who, it turns out, have wasted years of their lives having late-night heart-to-hearts after watching Sex and the City DVDs with their special friend. Researchers say the confusion comes from the roughly 98% of men who are attracted to anything with a pulse, in quotes, quote-unquote, anything with a pulse. A New Jersey woman was mistakenly kidnapped by bounty hunters. The woman went along with her kidnappers in the vain hope that they might take her out of New Jersey. How are you, Hasbro?
I am insulted.
Yeah, I know. I believe me, my heart is in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So impressed was he by their abilities. Now you understand that they identified her. Anyways, okay. New Jersey woman was mistakenly kidnapped by bounty hunters because they had fuzzy photographs and they.
Yeah.
So impressed was he with their abilities, Secretary Michael Chertoff hired both men to head the new fuzzy photograph division of the Homeland Security Department. Those are your Morning's Edition Cliff Notes for today, folks. Good times.
Yeah.
So I think Karl Rove is guilty of treason. I don't think our guest will admit to that. But Time Magazine's Matthew Cooper and New York Times reporter Judith Miller are both due to be sentenced today for refusing to reveal sources. We now know that Cooper interviewed Karl Rove before CIA operative Valerie Plame's name was leaked to the press. Is Rove guilty of treason against America? On the phone is Michael Isikoff, investigative reporter for Newsweek magazine. He joins us from Maryland this morning. Good morning, Michael.
Morning.
Morning.
So you interviewed Karl Rove's attorney, Robert Luskin. What did he have to say to you?
Well, he did disclose the crucial information. You just alluded to that we broke in this week's Newsweek, which is that Cooper did, in fact, talk to Karl Rove in those crucial days prior to the publication, the first publication of the name of Valerie Plame. That was in Robert Novak's column on July 14th, and a few days later, Cooper and two other Time writers co-authored an online piece that said some government officials have noted to Time that that Valerie Plame works for that Wilson's wife is Valerie Plame who was the CIA.
Joe Wilson and Beth. Yeah. Now let me just ask you, Michael, because a lot of things are going on, and there seems to be a lot of not necessarily loose ends, but where the hell is Novak in all this? He's the guy that leaked it.
Well, I think most of us now assume that Novak has provided information to Fitzgerald in one form or another.
The prosecutor.
That's not really much in debate at the moment.
Okay.
I mean, we don't know it in the sense that nobody's confirmed it, but there's no other construction of the facts that would leave out, that would lead to any other conclusion.
Well, what could he have provided? The name of the leaker?
Well, he obviously did. I mean, if he's provided information to Fitzgerald, he had to identify the two administration officials that he referred to in his July 14th column that named Valerie Plame. That clearly was not enough for Fitzgerald to make his case or conclude his investigation. He said that. So he needed something else. He has presumably testimony in one form, either in the form of a proffer or a grand jury testimony, I tend to think it's probably a proffer, from Novak about what he would say if called. He has the testimony of some of all relevant White House officials. We know that they've all testified, Rove, three times before the grand jury. Without seeing the full, Fitzgerald pleadings, because they're redacted, we can't say, but we can surmise it wasn't enough for him to reach a conclusion on the investigation. He needed Cooper's testimony. He got Cooper's notes over the weekend. I mean, we haven't referred to this, and this is actually the most important thing we reported this weekend, that the emails that were turned over last week by Time identify Rove as one of Cooper's sources for the story that he published that has been at the center of this. We don't know exactly what they say, and clearly from Fitzgerald's filing yesterday, they are also insufficient for him to conclude his investigation. Remember, as we reported, those emails are between Cooper and his editors about the sourcing for the story. So they're not direct evidence per se.
Mm-hmm.
They are Cooper talking to his editors saying, here's my source for this, or they're asking him, what's the sourcing on that?
Right.
And anyway, and also, to be clear,
mm-hmm.
we don't know exactly what the notes show, and Robert Luskin, Roe's lawyer, did say that Karl Rove has never knowingly disclosed classified information, nor did he tell any reporters that Valerie Plame worked for the CIA. That's what Luskin has said. Presumably that matches exactly with what Rove has testified to before the grand jury.
Got it.
Now, Michael, is it possible here, because Fitzgerald obviously wants Cooper's testimony, not just his notes, is it possible that Cooper is protecting another source besides Karl Rove?
It is possible, all I can tell you is that our reporting is that the principal source identified in the notes is Karl Rove.
Okay, so now
that doesn't mean he's the principal source for that the particular sentence. It may be that the notes aren't explicit about who the source for that particular sentence was. Remember, the way these things work, and being reported, it's always messier, or it's always different than what people think. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, it may be that somebody told Cooper prior to Novak's column that Wilson's wife worked for the CIA and had recommended that him being sent on the mission to Africa. That was the line the White House wanted out there. We know it was in the classified State Department report that was aboard Air Force One that week.
Yeah.
While Bush was in Africa, Secretary of State Colin Powell brought it with him. That's why Powell was called before the grand jury last year. So people in the White House knew it. We actually don't know that anybody necessarily would have had to provided Plame's name to Cooper, because Plame's name had already been published by Novak. So one possible construction here is Rove tells Cooper prior to the Novak column that Wilson's got a wife who worked for the CIA, who recommended he be sent on the trip, but didn't give him the name. The name came from Robert Novak. So I don't know that's the case. Obviously, we don't know anything that's the case because we don't know the full facts. But I'm saying there are constructions that are possible to fit with what Luskin, Rove's lawyer, is saying publicly, and it's still being short of a crime.
So you're saying that Rove covered all his bases?
I'm not. First of all,
on some level,
I'm giving you possible theories of the known evidence.
All right. So let's say Karl Rove is the source. What happens to him?
Well, did he know that she was an undercover operative, that she was undercover, that was her status?
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't have that piece of information, and we don't know that that was in the State Department report, then he didn't knowingly disclose the identity of an undercover CIA operative.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michael, if in this case you were told by two lawyers for witnesses who were sympathetic to the White House that one of Cooper's sources was Karl Rove, suppose someone pressed you for those sources, the names of those two lawyers, what would you do?
I'd tell them, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Would you go to jail?
That's, essentially the bargain. Things don't go as far as this one's gone. This one is, completely crazy.
What do you think is going to happen to Judith Miller and Matthew Cooper today in the sentencing?
I think they're going to jail.
Both of them?
As far as I can. Something can always happen at the last second. But we don't know.
Well, Michael Isikoff, always great talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, okay, Michael.
Sure enough.
All right, you take care. That was Michael Isikoff, investigative reporter at Newsweek magazine. Really filling in a lot of the gaps that we've been sort of talking about here on the show. I still would like to say that Karl Rove is a traitor guilty of treason and he should be put in jail.
You know what? after talking to Michael Isikoff, I would have to agree with you. You notice how closely and how cleverly he parsed his words there.
Well, yeah, Isikoff is great, and he also, you know, was able to paint that scenario, which would lead me to believe that, you know, not only is he's guilty, but he's more deviously guilty than you would ever imagine, that if he orchestrated that scenario that Isikoff just said, you know, in terms of how it would be leaked, so he would evade
the responsibility,
which is
the ultimate responsibility,
which is a policy of Republicans to disperse blame and avoid responsibility. Then he, you know, he is more insidiously a traitor than I even, you know, thought possible.
Plausible denial.
So who's going to get the Olympics, Paris or London coming up? Also, we're going to, you know, talk to you about the Olympics a bit, and also we're going to talk about Alberto Gonzalez. All that's coming up next here on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark. It's 17 past the hour.
Morning Sedition on the air and online. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Countdown to me winning $10 is going to continue in just a second. It's 22
what?
Past the hour.
What?
This morning tradition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
I'm putting my 10 on the table, yo.
I know. Are we actually putting money on the table
that's
now?
That's right.
All right, $10. Okay. All right.
That's
fine.
Right. I'm putting my money.
He's
where my
going.
Mouth is.
It's down to London and Paris in terms of the who's going to get the who's going to get the Olympics. All right, there's my $10 on
wait
the table.
Minute. Give it to K-Lo.
All right, he's all right, fine.
There
fine.
You
got to do. There's protocol to all this. So we should be getting the announcement in a matter of within 20 minutes here. We also want to talk a little bit about the reality of the Supreme Court nomination process, the reality of the Supreme Court of the United States, possibly the administration possibly nominating Alberto Gonzalez. You know, the problem is here is liberals, progressive Democrats, we're going to have to accept a conservative of some kind. You know, if there's always, you know, Riley, we got a list of potential people, a short list supposedly, but you never know if there's going to be a wild card. You have speculated that it doesn't matter in terms of this first one because Bush has got his eyes on two and he's going to get an extremist, an extreme judicial activist
in one of them,
the Christian right, the Christo fascist zombie brigade, very upset about Gonzalez to the point where you've got Bill Frist's chief of staff telling them to just shut up and cool out, that they're just flying off the handle. All the regular conservatives are telling the freaks to calm down.
Yeah, right.
And we've got this idea of Alberto Gonzalez possibly being a Supreme Court justice. Now, obviously, this is a guy that's okay with torture. So morally, he's a little questionable, I would say, obviously, on a lot of levels.
On a lot of levels. But then the question mark is, are any of these people against torture? For real? I mean, is there anything in any of their paper trails that would indicate that they are crusaders for civil or individual liberties? I'm not so sure. I'm looking at these names, and, you know, you start parsing them between moderate and conservative, and you kind of get, let's see, a majority of the names that are being bandied about, and, of course, this is by the media, of course, is about 13 names. Out of that 13, you got 6 moderates and 7 doctrinaire conservatives.
Well, you know, and there could be a wild card. No one knew Sandra Day O'Connor was going to be nominated. Yeah, I mean, who the hell knows, you know, what they could pull out of their sleeves. But the fact that I love this, that the Christo fascist zombie brigades have become so irritating to marginally regular conservatives that this guy, Eric Ewan, this is Bill Frist's chief of staff, said, quote, every contact we had with these folks is to stay on purpose.
Yeah.
The extremism of language, if there is to be any, should be demonstrably on the other side. The hysteria and the foaming of at the mouth ought to come from the left, end quote. So
yep.
that's hilarious. It's like, geez, the left are being, you know, practically minded, and we're sitting here, assessing, you know, how we can fight this thing, and yet they've got their own freak jobs on their side going, no abortion, this is our chance, they've got to do what we want.
This is a big shut up to all of those folks, because they see the people inside the Beltway, the conservatives inside the Beltway, even people like Grover Norquist, for God's sake, these guys know that if the religious right overreaches on the Supreme Court nominee, it's going to damage their cause. And their cause is not the same as the religious rights all the time.
Right. Their cause is, you know, how do we make our sympathy known for corporations and screw the working people?
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, obviously, the Christo Fascist Zombie Brigades, it's all about, you know, Roe v. Wade and pushing that back.
That's what they want. But, you know, they also have some other socially conservative ideas on their agenda, including, of course, the whole idea of where you can show the Ten Commandments, to what extent you can espouse a Judeo-Christian ethic in the public policy of government. All of these things they've got on the agenda, and they've got guys like Gary Bauer and Ralph Reed and the rest of these people leading the charge. But just like that thing in Animal House, they may be going right up against a wall here.
Okay, well, you know, what's on your mind about this? 866-303-2270. Do we have to accept Gonzalez?
Yeah.
What do we have to do? You know, there's a couple ways to fight this. We can definitely, the Democrats can filibuster. They can hold up legislation. They can accuse them of withholding information if they stop the FBI reports coming through. We'll be broadcasting live from Vox Box Coffee Shop on Cortelia Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn this Friday. So come on down for that. We're going to be taking your calls now, and we're also going to find out where the Olympics are going to be momentarily. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark. It's 27 past the hour.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here. That's Mark Riley over there.
Hi.
Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark here on Air America Radio. Glad you're here. Opening on the decent Wednesday morning. We'll be broadcasting live from Vox Pop Coffee Shop on Cortelia Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn, this Friday from 6 to 9. Come down, touch Mark Riley. See Lawton Smalls, win a book, get some free coffee, do whatever you got to do. Also, look. It's George Bush's birthday. I didn't bring it up before this, and I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. He's 52 years old.
No!
59 years old. Who am I thinking of? You. You're 51. How old are you?
No, I'm going to be 54.
Who am I thinking of? Am I just making up numbers? All right, 59.
I don't know.
Look,
Tom Cruise?
It's going to be 59 years old. I'm just throwing numbers out there. What the hell? We're at the countdown now. We're waiting to hear whether it's going to be Paris or London, whether the Olympics are going to be in Paris or London. We got $10 on this. I got $10 on Paris. Riley's got $10 on London.
Yep.
Kalo is holding the money. A lot of money went into getting this to try to get the Olympics in this country. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, millions and millions of dollars. This is very important to somebody, not me. I can't even remember the last time I watched them. Is that wrong? I just, to me, it's sort of like, well, great. Look, they swam a long way. Hey, he's up in the air.
Hey, you don't like to see him run?
No, I do. But being a non-athletic person and not really having that part of me that believes or lives through athletic achievement, it's a little lost on me.
No, to be fair, I think the athletes, you know, what they do is great. I just don't care if they're in the United States. Like, who cares? Do we really need the Olympics in the United States?
Are you going to go? The weird thing is, like, it's so much on television, you can see almost all the events.
Yeah.
If you go, can you imagine that? Going out to Flushing or wherever the hell they were going to have them? Or, you know, wait. First of all, the traffic just, you know, around building a new stadium and getting that thing up in Queens would be nasty. And then to have, like, you know, millions and billions of people from all over the world in this city just congesting it.
We already got millions and billions of people from all over the world in this
which
city.
Which isn't bad. It's good for business.
Of
right? I'm not knocking that, but you imagine, like, by the time you got tickets, you'd be like, all they got left is fencing, you know?
Curling. You forgot curling.
Curling. My grandpa, that's with the brooms and the ice and the giant pucks and the it's good stuff.
But
good
do you know why New York lost? Because I'll tell you why New York lost. In February, when the International Olympic Committee came to New York, to hear all of the pitches for the bids, what were they told?
No.
They were told that they couldn't build a stadium in Queens.
Right.
Couldn't do it. Yeah. Had to be on the west side of Manhattan.
Even though the Queens was the most practical place.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
And had New York decided at the very beginning, had they decided a year ago to build it in Queens, and had they stayed consistent, they might have had a shot.
Yeah.
But the minute they decided that the West Side was the only place, and the minute they told the Olympic Committee that the West Side of Manhattan was the only place the stadium could be built, they hitched their fortunes to that, and when that died, so did their bid.
So financial politicking killed the bid.
Yeah.
Yeah. 866-303-2270. Do you care if the Olympics are in America? Let's be honest. We'll talk about Gonzalez in a little while. But, I guess a lot of people get fired up about this. And now you made me feel guilty, Kalo, because,
right.
because I understand people dedicate their lives to athletics, and I think it's great. I look at Lance Armstrong and stuff, right? Okay, it's a pretty amazing thing he did, but he looks weird. It doesn't mean because he's too thin and it's creepy in a lot of ways.
But it's still
a
good accomplishment.
I guess so. I mean, it's a good accomplishment because it's never been done
you
before.
Guess so. Wait. So winning a gold medal at the Olympics isn't a noble thing?
No, I don't. It's an amazing thing to push one to that level of achievement mm-hmm. in your particular, obsession in terms of athletics.
See, that obsession in terms of athletics.
Look, there are things.
Well, it is. It's a drive. It's a strong drive you have in your heart to reach that level.
Maybe I'm jealous. Maybe I'm jealous of the drive in the heart.
No, but
maybe I'd like to have that drive in my heart
for
something.
Different. There's a difference between rooting for.
I have broken records at home, my friend. All right. Now there are records I have broken that people don't even know about.
Most spam eaten in a week.
Where do you come up with stuff?
That's right.
Riley just pulls something out of the file. It's like what? Huh? Yeah.
Most spam.
You know, it's weird that is exactly it. Yeah, the most spam eating in a week. Yeah. What were you going to say, Kalo? Was it interesting or important at all?
No, I can't stop right.
Well, no.
That's right.
Yeah, but I appreciate your passion, and I think maybe this is all just coming from my own personal jealousy. Who the hell knows? But I can't remember the last time I watched the Olympics, but I probably would get into it, now that I have an iPod and I've reengaged my emotional sphere.
Well, you just invested into where it's going to be.
Yeah.
You bet me $10.
Yeah, but that's because I just didn't want you to get all happy and
get all happy.
Yeah, because
I'm going to either Paris or London for the Olympics.
You will go to London eventually for some reason or another.
That's for British football. That's a whole different
British
thing.
Football family reasons. Who knows? Yeah. You could build a trip around it in 2012. You'll be retired by
then. I'll be 60 by then. That would be crazy. I don't plan that far ahead.
I'm trying. I used to be a championship skier.
In whose mind?
No, yeah.
Oh, no. What kind of skiing are we talking about?
No. I've partaken in a couple of sports. I was a swimmer as a child.
Were you a championship swimmer?
Yeah, well, I had a B time in breaststroke, and this is true, in the 50-yard breaststroke, but I was no good at anything else. I can do butterfly, for six or seven full strokes. Now even, and also I skied as a kid, but I was never a competitive sports person. You know why?
What?
I'll be honest with you, because the idea of losing is just too difficult for me to deal with. I'd rather just say no, I'm quitting. Is that wrong? Is that wrong? Am I being too?
You never cheated to win?
No, I never did.
Somebody like you, I figured cheating might have crossed your mind.
No, I've never been a cheater.
No,
I've been a mark, if anything. I've been cheated.
Oh, you've been cheated on?
Sure.
Uh-oh.
But, are we talking about sports, or are we talking about emotional things here? What
no,
are we talking
sports.
About? Are we broadening the context?
Sports!
I'm competing. I'm fighting for something right now, Riley.
Okay.
All right, we're fighting for our lives here, all right? we got someone calling from Switzerland.
Oh,
Kate
okay.
in Switzerland. How are you, Kate?
Hi, Kate.
I'm fine, and I'm glad you guys are on the air because
thank you.
I get to listen to you.
Oh, what time is it there?
A reasonable hour.
Ah.
What time is it?
It's a quarter to two in the afternoon for me.
Oh, my perfect. God.
So we're your lunchtime companions.
You are.
So you've slept. You've had a full day.
I'm absolutely been out and been back, and then I make sure I'm here for noon. And
how's the weather there in Switzerland?
It's been gorgeous.
Oh.
Really beautiful. Clear blue skies and...
everything's nice and peaceful. There's no war or conflict of any kind in Switzerland. No one fights at all ever there, right?
Not allowed. Not
only banking is allowed.
So
she's slightly cranky, but
so people did that. So
you're supposed to keep it to yourself.
Oh, that's hilarious! You just Riley just painted this image of people just you know counting money and eating chocolate.
Yeah, there you go.
That's great. You're there, and then in the wintertime, dipping bread into cheese.
Oh, and skiing.
Skiing.
So what do you think of this? What do you think of this Olympic issue, Kate?
Well, I've lived here now for almost 20 years, but I also lived in London for three,
mm-hmm.
and I think London has shown itself to be able to screw up the London Eye, the London Dome,
uh-huh.
the 2000 celebration.
So they can't be trusted.
They just won't be able to pull it off.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, unless they get some foreigners to come in and run absolutely everything.
Sounds like I'm going to win $10.
Wow. I don't think so. I think everyone's going to be surprised. See, now remember, a year ago, London was either in third or fourth place. They pole vaulted into the finals now.
Okay. Yeah, but that's a pity party thing, I think.
They pity?
Feel so bad about London.
Well, we're going to see if you're right, Kate. Thanks for calling, and thanks for listening
okay,
there.
Okay, well, I'm glad you guys are on. I really enjoy it.
Oh, thank you, Kate, so much. Jim, listening to the Quake in San Francisco. How are you, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Pretty good. What's on your mind about the Olympics, my friend?
All right, well, you know, you're sort of ambivalent about whether you're going to watch or not. I think you ought to go out and rent Miracle.
The movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Chris Caleb just lit up. What is that movie? How come I don't know about it? Jimmy, you want to tell him?
It's about the, 1980
Olympic hockey team.
Okay.
In Lake Placid.
Oh, I heard about this movie. I didn't go see that. Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You should see it. And here's the deal. Because when an American stands on top of that podium and they play the national anthem, I tear up every time because it is not only an achievement of their own, it's an achievement for our country.
Isn't that weird, Jim? I didn't even think of that. I'm just thinking about guys running, and I didn't even, sort of connect the whole the national element to it. I guess I'm utterly self-centered.
Oh, there's a lot of nationalism, isn't there?
Of course.
And, you know, if you remember back when the Soviet Union was still in effect.
Yeah.
There was always the medal count, USA, Russia, blah, blah, blah.
No, I definitely remember all that. It's just weird in my thinking of it just now. I just didn't play that in, and I'd forgotten about how overwhelming and how exciting the sort of national connection can be to the athletes.
And I have actually known people that have been on the Olympic team, and they just the march into the stadium is incredible for them, even if they don't win. Okay.
Okay, well, thanks for your call, Jim. I appreciate it. I'm going to go watch that movie.
I actually have it at home. I'll lend it to you.
Really?
Yeah, it's great.
Your movies are stacking up in my house.
Yeah, really.
That movie is one of the best sports movies ever and the best hockey movie ever.
I know. I don't know why I didn't go see it. It looked really exciting. You know, and I like Chariots of Fire, and I definitely like competitive movies, even if I don't... did you see that movie, the football movie that my old buddy Pete Berg directed? What's it called?
Oh, Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, did you see that?
No, I didn't.
I wonder how that is.
You didn't see it either?
No. I did. Well, I don't like it that much.
I'll pick it up then.
All right, so we're any second now, we're going to find out whether I win $10, which is obviously the most important thing about this announcement, I think.
They're singing, by the way.
They're singing. You're watching television?
They're singing the Olympic scene.
Is it happening?
I don't know.
They're
getting ready to make the announcement any minute now.
Would you sing a few bars of the Olympic theme for me, please?
La, 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 la. See, you know, you have to watch, you know. New York isn't getting anyone's game. Oh, sorry.
Riley Riffin.
Hey!
Are they singing the name of the country? What is going on?
I'm beginning to wonder now. Somebody was getting ready to talk, and they started singing instead of it.
Oddly, this is exactly how they're going to announce the Supreme Court justice when they make the decision with singing and
singing?
Spectacular pageant.
Jenna, Laura?
Yeah, for the end of the country, you know, in the beginning of the theocracy. How long is this going to take?
It's going to take a minute, it looks like. I don't know. But, yeah. I mean, the question, do people really care? Does it make any difference? I mean, New York's been eliminated, but now that it's between Paris and London, does anybody care?
Well, I do, because I got $10 on this, and we're going to find out the answer. We should have an answer, you know, coming up momentarily. It's 4 to 6 past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition with Mark and Art. Mark, we also have the Warm Brains also coming up. So a lot of things to stay here for. So there you have it. Let's get out of here now.
Hi, this is former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, and you're listening to Mark Maron and Mark Riley. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
The National Olympic Committee has the honor of announcing that the Games of the 30th Olympiad in 2012 are awarded to the city of London.
I can't believe it.
Give me my 10.
He's got it. You made him hold the money.
Thank you.
This is crap.
Breakfast for all, my friend.
All right. Give me some breakfast. I can't believe that.
Hey. Trust the man.
You know what's hilarious is I had nothing invested in it. We could be talking about, like, you know, dogs or anything else. I'm just mad because I lost $10.
Hey, and also, what are you going to do?
And I'm mad that you were right. I'm mad that you had to dance around the damn studio.
When you found out, Riley tossed his legs up in the air and just did a dance. It was hysterical.
Jumped around. He said, I knew it.
No, those are my arms.
I wish we could have.
No. Your legs were a flailing, my friend. I have witnesses.
We actually have tape of Riley saying, I knew it when
That's
I woke
right.
up yesterday morning.
That's
that it
right.
was going to be London.
It was going to be. London pole vaulted over both Paris and New York and Madrid. A year ago, they were in fourth place.
And oddly, pole vaulting an Olympic activity.
And an Olympic activity that will now take place in the city of London.
Well, folks, there you go. There you have it. I lost $10. I don't know how you feel about it, but every week we do bring you the latest news from the front lines of the four-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here with today's dispatch from the War on Brains is war correspondent Mort Milfington.
State lines, Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, hub of secrecy, burned down by the British. Attacked by the Beltway sniper, and apparently the favorite target of terrorists when their anthrax absolutely, positively has to get there overnight. The War on Brains continues, you hapless radio monkeys.
Hapless. Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you.
All right.
For like the fabled lone chariot of Lorb that approaches the impassable gauntlet of mucus-pocketed neocon obstruction, attempting its perilous journey through the Texas beef-packed maze of the American intestinal tract, so too have a few enriching scraps of knowledge once again tried to escape the squinting brown-eyed leer of the Bush administration. But with each passing minute, the clench tightens.
Oh. I can feel it.
For this week, according to the Federal Information Security Oversight Office, or I couldn't come up with a funny acronym for this one, so get over it. Government secrecy in the United States has reached a historic high, or even more serious, an historic high.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you figure it out.
I got it.
In the name of Homeland Security, federal departments now classifying documents as secret at the rate of 125 a minute. I'd be able to tell you the exact rate per day if they hadn't classified the 1840 edition of McGuffey's Math Reader. Mark?
Yeah.
A record 15 million documents were classified last year, nearly double the number in 2001, bearing vague titles like Sensitive Security Information, Gay Republican Scandal of the Week, Instructions from Jesus Regarding Next War, and Karl Rove Cat Torture. But the most insidious part of all this is Bush's shameful secrecy is keeping Americans from finding out about vital scientific advancements, medical breakthroughs, and yes, more importantly, his daughter's drinking habits. They are wild.
Yeah.
Never before has one man done so much to make so many know so little. This administration even tried to stop publication of a scientific paper about the threat of poisoned milk supplies on the ground that it was, quote, a roadmap for terrorists. Like terrorists are going to come up with a better way to kill us than the strain of having to do this whenever you down a glass of milk.
okay, okay.
Why are we still drinking milk anyway, Mark?
Good question.
There's a new thing out called weaning. Okay? It usually happens sometime after you stop wearing diapers. Or in Mark's case, puberty.
Oh.
Puberty. Hello? It's time to graduate to adult food, America. However, if you feel you must still drink milk at your age, take a tip from me. Stay within your own species. That's why I'm offering exclusively through the Morning Sedition program, Mort Milfington's Human Milk Drink. Made exclusively by Milfington Farms. Organic. Wholesome. But don't just take my word for it. You can ask one of our contented human cows. Right, Daisy?
I'm not doing this for him.
Oh, come on, please, Mark.
You don't have an ending for this, do you?
Sure I do, Mark, but from now on, I guess the ending will have to be shrouded in secrecy, for I have decided to classify it in the name of national security. Now, thanks to you, America will never know the true story of a real-life male lactator.
Ooh.
And the world will have to live without the benefit of human man milk. Way to go, Mark.
Oh, man.
And that's today's dispatch from the War on Race.
Wow. Man, are you going to lactate for us?
I was talking about you.
All right. Oh,
you're the man lactator.
Let's take this call from Paul listening here in New York. What's up, Paul? Quickly,
hey, Paul.
We only got a second.
Hi there.
Hey.
I was talking about Olympic movies.
Yeah.
Don't forget Walk, Don't Run with Cary Grant at the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. Race walking. You haven't seen excitement until you've seen race walking.
Thanks for your call, Paul.
Wow.
I got a big night at the movies, I guess.
Oh.
I'm going to watch Miracle and Walk, Don't Run. Oh, I did. Did you see that, Riley?
No.
We're going to have to get into this weird man crush Riley has on Mort Milfington.
Man crush? What's that about? Why, just because I noticed he cut his hair?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He's very cute.
He's got a round back.
Jim Earl walks in with a haircut that looks like, you know, he's seven. And
excuse me for still having you.
Is that what it is? Hang on to the dream, Jim. Keep hanging on to the dream.
Oh, male hormones fell again with it. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
No, it's called his mom did his hair.
Hey, look, coming up, we've got E from the Eels is going to come in and play for us here in the studio. That should be good. And much more worth listening to here on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program at 57 past the hour.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Six past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
How are you, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes? Any of you out there in the Brooklyn area, the New York area, or on the Eastern Seaboard wants to see us broadcast live? We'll be live from the Vox Pop Coffee Shop on Cortelyou Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn, this Friday. So you can come see me and Mark in person. We'll be giving away free coffee, free books, free subscriptions to Film Movement, plus all kinds of goodies, you know, keychains, t-shirts. Maybe you can meet the Morning Sedition crew. You got Lawton Small, you got the Cardinal Milfington, you got the Johnny K Street. You can't meet Kalo because he's going to be back here in the console. He's going to be back here at Ground Control at Houston running it. From here,
that's right.
What Kalo does. He reaches out over the airwaves and controls things.
Hmm.
Right, Chris?
That's right, baby.
All right, take your time with that answer. In a few minutes, we've got E from the Eels who's going to come sing some songs for us. I'm looking forward to that. I loved their first album, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. He seems like he would be an interesting cat. Also, right now, what I want to talk about, if you didn't know, I got to tell you this, I just lost $10, and that's all that's important about the decision for the Olympics to be in London. I lost $10 because I went with Paris. Riley knew it was London and did a dance.
That's right, and I bought breakfast for everybody.
Oh, that's very nice with my money. But it's not my money anymore.
That's right, I won.
Do you ever have that feeling when you play cards or something after you lose where you're looking at the guy that won and you just sort of like, can I just have some of my money back?
Well, yeah, if I got nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if I lost everything. That's the first thing I'd say. But I very rarely gamble. I take bets with people.
I don't gamble either. You know why? Because I can't handle it. I don't like losing. Right now, I don't like you.
You're seething. I know. You're seething.
No, I'm not seething over $10. What are you kidding? That's nothing to me. $10.
Yeah, yeah.
What's $10?
Mere bag of shells.
I need money. I don't make. Come on. So let's talk about Alberto Gonzalez and the possibility. The scenario is playing out. Interestingly, it's suspicious in some ways, but I don't think that they could maneuver I don't think that all this speculating is just going on to create a controversy so they can, you know, put somebody more conservative in there. They are reprimanding the neocon death cult and the Republican, some of the higher ups in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Bill Frist's chief of staff are reprimanding the Christo fascist zombie brigade for not shutting up. From just going, no, Gonzalez, he's too lenient on abortion, we can't have it, Jesus wouldn't want it.
You know, that's the amazing thing, Mark. I mean, it's not like Alberto Gonzalez has been running around giving private donations to abortion clinics. That's not where he stands on this. But for the Christo fascist zombie brigades, as you call them, he's not clear enough in opposition to abortion.
Well, that's the weird thing is it's hard to know how clear he is on anything, really. The guy was only a Supreme Court justice for what, a couple of years? Now, you know, and he was Bush's confidant and lawyer.
Sure.
Yeah, Texas Supreme Court. So what do we really know about him? What we do know is that he's morally, you know, bankrupt because of his support of torture. We know that, as I said, he was only on the Texas Supreme Court for a couple of years. We know that he took money from corporate donors, all right? And sometimes he took money for corporate donors, you know, that were, you know, being judged by him and then judged in favor of the donors. We know that he took money from corporate donors during trials, which I guess is not against the law. Also, he is not, we don't know if he's really moderate. Okay, and there's no reason to assume that he is.
No, there's no reason to assume that he is. But, you know, for me, Mark, the question is, among the people whose names are being bandied about, and we should understand that the media loves this sort of thing because the media loves horse races, whether it's for the Olympics or whether it's for the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter. It's a horse race. People are competing, and that's what the media loves to cover. So right now, you know, Bush is over in, I think he's on his way to Scotland for the G8 summit. It's possible the Supreme Court thing is the furthest thing from his mind.
He thinks he is, too.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's his birthday. He's probably eating some cake from somewhere or another. But, I mean, next week is the earliest that he can name somebody as a nominee.
That's another thing. We don't have to rush this thing. Democrats can stifle this thing.
Democrats can stifle it. And George W. Bush and the circle around him could name anybody from Alberto Gonzalez to Senator Cornyn. You know, Cornyn is one of the names on supposedly on the list, John Cornyn, who also is from Texas, who also was a judge, who is also, he called him Johnny Boy, just like, remember he called Lay, what did he call him, Kenny Boy? Mm-hmm. I guess Boy is a recurrent theme in his nickname thing. But anyway, Bush is close to these people. And as a result, of course, he responded very badly when the religious right went after Gonzalez. He said, hey, he's my friend, and I don't like it when people attack my friend. So, you know, you've got some of these people who seem to have an inside track because of their relationship to Bush. And then you have some other people. You have Janice Rogers Brown, who just managed to get confirmed to the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit.
The bottom line is that, you know, liberals, progressives, says Democrats are going to have to settle for a conservative, a moderate conservative, hopefully. The question is Alberto Gonzalez that guy?
Yeah.
And I personally, you know, don't believe he is that guy. And another thing that we have to remember as Democrats, progressives, liberals, is that also there are different ways we can stifle this process in terms of it needs to take the time. We need to take the time to vet these nominees appropriately. And that doesn't have to be done with a filibuster. It can be done through, through the threat of slowing down the legislative process. It can be done through accusing them of withholding information if they are withholding information like they're trying to do. They're trying to hold back FBI reports. And any time that happens, that they try to hold back an FBI report, we can only assume that they're hiding something. That's the thing, is that the Republicans and the conservatives are saying, look, you guys don't need to know what they think about abortion. It's like, no, that's exactly what we need to know. What are you hiding?
See, what's going to be interesting here, Mark, is that I don't think that the Republicans are going to be able to keep the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee from asking the questions. The issue is going to come with the answers to the questions from whoever the nominee is. And the nominee is going to be coached very early in this process not to say anything that the Democrats can hang their hat on here. So you're going to see a lot of evasion. You're going to see a lot of dancing around these kinds of direct questions. The issue of whether or not they should be asked is one thing. That's a fight the Democrats will be able to win easily. To actually get any truth out of these people in terms of their responses is very different.
Well, that's good.
Well, yeah, but then what they're going to have to do is back that up with paper. In other words, their previous statements, their previous rulings with regard to these issues like abortion and affirmative action, et cetera.
And civil rights. But what they have to do is if the Supreme Court nominee is averting the question or they, you know, giving them the runaround, I think it's an important time for Democrats to really make it clear what the values that we have are. We are not wanting to, we don't want to have a Supreme Court justice in there that is only going to be sympathetic to corporations. If we can find a true moderate that actually judges on a case-by-case, per-case level, that's great. We don't want an activist, conservative judge in there that is only sympathetic to corporations and also extreme moral issues that are important to the extreme right. What do you think? I mean, do you think that settling for Alberto Gonzalez is acceptable? I mean, these are weird questions for liberals and Democrats. 866-303-2270. How do you think the Democrats should handle it? Maybe we'll get Pashman in here. I had an argument with him a little while ago.
Oh, yeah, he sure did.
And I think Future Mark might call. He usually calls today, so yes. That might be interesting. So, you know, give us a call, 866-303-2270, if you have any input at all on this confirmation and nomination process and Alberto Gonzalez. And we got Future Mark maybe coming up next. It's 14 past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio.
Call us at 866.
Ha! That's awesome. Go on.
303.
Wow. Yes. Yes. I love it.
2270.
Oh, yeah. Drop the bomb. Drop it. There's not a dry eye in the house. Keep going.
That's 866-303-2270.
Okay. Well, just so you know, it was good, but I was also being pretty generous.
This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. We'll be broadcasting live from Vox Pop Coffee Shop in Cortelyou on Cortelyou Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn this Friday. Come on down. Come see Mark and I in person. We'll be giving away free coffee, free books, free subscriptions to Film Movement, plus all kinds of stuff. You can meet the crew. You know, you can touch Dan Pashman's crew-cutted head. How are you, Dan? Nice to see you.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back from vacation.
Thank you.
Dan was in Chicago on some sort of sausage tour. we're taking your calls at 303-866. Why did it just 2270?
No.
What?
866.
303-2270.
There you go.
What did I just say?
303.
You said 303
866.
First.
303-2270. What? I just had a brain skid. Are you drinking my water, Dan?
Sorry, I just had one sip.
What is this?
We
got calls coming in about Alberto Gonzalez, whether we need to settle for Alberto Gonzalez. How do we handle this nomination process? I'm going to talk to Dan. We got any calls there, Chris?
Yeah, actually, we have Future Mark on line one.
Future Mark, he's my favorite. Put him through. Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
So what's going on in 2050?
I'm on Celebrity Island, man.
Whoa, Celebrity Island? Is that good or bad?
Well, you know, some of both.
All right, okay. So what is Celebrity Island? You're going to have to explain that.
Here's what happened. Around 2024, a massive earthquake dropped most of California into the Pacific.
Oh, man.
So, of course, the celebrities and their clones kind of freaked out. They had nowhere to go, and they spread all over the country.
Uh-huh.
Well, that didn't work out. Celebrities are no good around regular people.
Uh-huh.
They trashed hotel rooms. They broke up families. And, you know, you can't really scream at a waiter like that in Topeka.
All right, so what happened?
Well, the government, in the interest of public safety, rounded them all up and shipped them here to this beautiful tropical island, Celebrity Island.
An island, huh? Wow, so what's that like? It's like a jungle paradise or something?
No, actually, it's an exact replica of Malibu, Palm Springs, and there's a Tribeca section for the New Yorkers.
So wait, let me get this straight. So celebrities don't mind being confined to this island?
No, they love it. They're waited on hand and foot by an army of docile Mary Harts and James Whipton clones. It's like an ego fest 24/7. Here, listen. Future Mark Maron, would you like to see the dessert menu? And what is your least favorite word? See what I mean? Welcome to the show. My name is...
Was that Earl Flynn?
Oh, yeah. One other thing. All the old celebrities got cloned, and they're here, too.
Uh-huh.
Flynn's tagging every talent sight, man. It's unbelievable. Uh-huh. Right now, he's trying to nail Jessica Simpson.
Really?
Whoa, correction. Earl Flynn is nailing Jessica Simpson right now.
Whoa.
Right in front of me.
Wow.
Oh, he's good.
So what does everybody do there?
Well, pretty much what you'd expect. They get drunk, snort a lot of coke, go to clubs, and order a bunch of food they don't eat. But mainly, they just do each other.
Oh, man, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, plus, get this. The whole place is covered in red carpets because they have award shows every night, and everyone's a winner.
I knew it, man. Wow. All those neurotic Hollywood types on one island, that's got to be a nightmare, right?
Big time. Sometimes they get so agitated they throw their poop at you.
Wow.
Yeah. Shirley Temple nailed me right in the face once.
No.
Disturbed doesn't even begin to describe how I felt, my friend.
That is so freaky, man. So, all right, well, no offense, buddy, but what are you doing there?
I got a special visa to visit one of my clones, Celebrity Mark.
Oh, cool. We become a celebrity?
No, just Celebrity Mark.
No.
Here, why don't I just put him on the phone? Hey, Celebrity Mark, say hi to the original Mark. Hey, man. You're a civilian, like from olden times. That must suck.
It's okay. I mean, I'm doing okay. Well, so, like, congratulations, I guess. How'd you get to be a celebrity?
Well, they say I killed Dakota Fanning. There was a big trial and tons of press. I was acquitted. I got a series.
That's so messed up, man.
Yeah, whatever, man. Hey, come here. You call this pomegranate sauce? Well, look, you tell that crappy chef to get it right, or I'm going to do his wife right here on the table. All right? Don't look at me. Just do it. Go tell him now.
Whoa, dude.
By the way, I'm so sorry, Celebrity Mark. This will never happen again. God, I'm so stupid. That's
okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Assistant to Celebrity Mark, you are stupid. All right, just keep saying it. I'm back. Sorry about that, Original Mark. I'm a little on edge. I was up all night clubbing with Clooney, Lee Marvin,
yeah,
Patty Arbuckle.
Wow. That's quite a bunch. That's cool, man. So, but, you know, let's be honest here, Celebrity Mark. It's not like you're really hanging out with those guys. I mean, they are clones.
Whoa. Original Mark. Listen, buddy, we don't use the C word. They're just much happier not knowing.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I see how that could be a problem. So, hey, Future Mark, do you think it'd be okay if I got some advice from Celebrity Mark this week?
Yeah, sure. Kiss ass. There he is, the star. Talk to you later.
Okay, so Celebrity Mark, do you have any advice for me from the future?
Definitely. Murder Dakota Fanning, and you get to nail Rita Hayworth. Later, man.
Later.
Go to my car, Mike.
By the way, I'm so sorry, Celebrity Mark.
Oh, jeez. There you go. So let's get back to the case at hand. Alberto Gonzalez, we've got a call online. Here we go. Steve, how are you from Boston? Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen,
hey.
It really kind of bothers me to hear this discussion in terms of should we settle for Alberto Gonzalez. That in no bigger way for any president is his legacy remembered than to appoint a Supreme Court justice. And I think when we start talking in terms of what we will settle for, I think we sell short the entire Bush agenda, which is to, you know, theocratize America.
Absolutely.
We need to be talking about what will be best for the country and what kind of a moderate we could see sitting on the court for the next 30 years.
I think you're right.
I think the initial plan is that the first person that you're going to see the Republicans nominate is going to be the scapegoat that they're going to use to kind of out all of the opposition.
Okay.
Hire the Democrats, and then, you know, they'll put their real
number. So that's the Riley theory. Thank you for your call. That's saying that there's going to be two openings, that this guy, that they use Gonzalez, or just he's going to be the guy that's he's going to take the hit first, but they're going to put the real, you know, theocratic whack job in after Gonzalez.
Yeah, or the reverse. They could put the arch conservative up first and then put Gonzalez in on the back end.
But Dan, you and I had this conversation before, is that, like, I don't think we should settle for Gonzalez. I think that, you know, at the very least, we should have somebody that has some, you know, if we're going to settle for anybody, they should at least have some experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is true, Mark, but I object to the term settling for. I mean, I think the gentleman who just called said, you know, we have to look out for the best interests of the country. I mean, the fact is we're probably not going to get a judge or justice who's going to be looking out for the best interests of the country, no matter who we get.
Not from our point of view.
Right. We're going to, you know, Howard Dean is not going to be the next Supreme Court justice. So we need to look at getting someone that isn't completely and totally objectionable to us. We need to be a little bit practical,
yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and also, you know, if it weren't for all these people that might have voted otherwise, otherwise if they weren't frightened,
right,
and didn't you know, quite realize that what was at stake here is what this guy was saying on the phone is that, you know, 30 years up to 30 years of a particular tone of court here that could change everything that we know about America, you know, then we wouldn't be sitting here today.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I think that we should fight all of them.
That's what I disagree with. Because I think that, first of all, we lose some of our validity when we fight every single battle.
What if we're fighting for our values and our principles?
I guess that's an argument you can make, but it makes it awfully easy for them to just dismiss everything we say once you take that approach. I mean, we're in the minority. We have to work within that framework.
All right. We got E from the Eels coming in just a minute here to play for us. That should be interesting.
That's going
to
be fun.
You're smiling. I just won $10 smile.
Yeah. Right.
27 past the hour. Sarah America Radio's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark.
Morning Sedition. America Radio. Join the Morning Sedition right now. Call 866-303-2270.
What?
That's 866-303-2270.
You don't know until you've tried this.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Hi, Susie.
That's the Eels, right?
It is.
We'll be broadcasting live from Vox Pop Coffee Shop on Cortelia Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn this Friday. Come see me and Mark in person. We'll be giving away stuff, and you can meet all the people. As I said, that was the Eels. Their new album, Blinking Lights and Other Revelations, took 7 years to make. The band has had lots of success since the mid-90s, and although it's always had multiple members, the focus has always been on lead singer slash songwriter slash multi-instrumentalist Mark Oliver Everett, a.k.a. E. He joins us live in the studio this morning. Thanks for coming, E. It's a great album, and I need to ask you, why the title Blinking Lights?
Well, this is always a hard answer to make short.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a minute.
You got 7 years?
Cut it down a little.
Well, all right, I'll just tell you the beginning of it. It started with, I wrote the song, it's called Blinking Lights for Me.
Yeah.
That was what started it all back 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was writing the song to comfort someone that was close to me that was going through a hard time, and I was looking out the window one night, and the plane was flying over the sky, and I was thinking about people that were scared of flying.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice if that little light on the end of the wing was flashing a Morse code signal, and that when you decoded it, it spelled out, "Don't worry, everything's going to be okay."
Oh, that's nice. That's definitely poetic. This CD's got, I have it at home. There's like, how many songs are on there? Like 50?
Well, don't scare everyone. 33, but, you know, it's not that dense as far as the double albums go. It's
right.
There's a lot of single albums that are almost that long.
Right.
Songs
are kind of tight.
It's about 94 minutes or something total.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically the length of an old vinyl double album.
Now, I saw an interview that you did where you said that music is dying in America. Is it dying, or is it just harder to find good music in America?
No, I'm trying to kill it myself.
How's that going?
Well, you messed up with this new album. It's pretty good. I actually listened to it, and I enjoyed it a great deal.
I failed again.
Why do you say that music is dying? Why do you feel it?
Well, I think that was in terms of the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly on hard times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah. Now
but, you know, if you ask me, the bitch was asking for it. Brought it on themselves.
Yeah.
5 years ago, the campaign of one George W. Bush had a little bit of problem with an album that you did. Is there anything on this album, Blinking Lights and Other Revelations, that's going to piss off the music police?
Well, you know, I was kind of disappointed I didn't even get the parental advisory sticker on this one. Because I like to get equal street cred.
Yeah.
You know.
There were no on it.
Well, you know how it works is they Well, it's funny because how it works is they have like a quota per album of how many sorry.
Yeah.
You can. I believe the rules are you can have two in one. Seriously. And I I think I only. I think I just barely made it under the wire to not need a sticker for this one.
So maybe. Oh, in other words, over a certain number, you have to have a sticker.
Yeah.
How did you piss off George W. Bush?
Well, I didn't piss him off. He just used our record, Daisies of the Galaxy, as a example during his 2000 campaign.
As an example of what?
Well, it was pretty hilarious because the idea was that because the album cover is this old, has a children's storybook quality to it. So mm-hmm. they said, well, this is clearly marketed to small children.
Okay. Right.
Which is our target audience, you know. We're big with the 3-year-olds. And it had a song called It's a Mother. Boy.
Yeah.
If anybody can understand anything we're saying between the bleeps.
Yeah.
And so, taken literally with this storybook cover marketed to children, I was obviously telling children that they should have intercourse with their mothers.
Yeah.
And then there was another song that they used as an example. And it was great. You could get all my lyrics on the George Bush for President website,
yeah.
which was a big thrill for me. And
did you refer people there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it sell records for you?
No. Well, the funny thing is, our idiotic management at the time, and this might have been the last straw, too, they wanted to cover it up.
Oh, yeah?
Like,
oh, wow.
They were like, this isn't really, this is kind of negative.
What is it?
And we were, like, so excited. We thought, this is our big break, you know?
I enjoy your records, and I had no idea until I was, I didn't look at the liner notes, but Tom Waits is on the new album, as is R.E.M. guitarist Peter Buck.
Yeah.
Are you buddies with Waits?
Well, we've become sort of friends, you know, it seems like. You know, we talk on the phone.
What's talking to Tom Waits? I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
No.
Everything he does is Tom Waitsian.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's just no mistaking who he is ever.
He said one of the greatest quotes I ever heard. Someone asked him what his favorite kind of music was, and he said, an AM radio across the street.
Yeah, he talks in those Tom Waitsisms, and sometimes you scratch your head and you're thinking, what the hell does that mean? And then a minute later you realize he's way ahead of you, and what he's saying is, like, when he first heard this album, he said, it's kind of like, you know, there's this juxtaposition between what you're saying and the lyrics and the music sometimes, and it's like a baked Alaska, man. And at first I'm like, okay. And then it sinks in, and you're like, yeah, it's like flaming ice cream, you know? He's way ahead of me.
Well, let's hear some flaming ice cream.
Oh.
What do you got?
I don't know. I've overhyped you now.
No. What song are you gonna play?
Well, here's the title track from the album that George Bush loved so much, Daisies of the Galaxy. This isn't one that has any of the
bad words,
any of the directions that I was giving the children.
Okay. This is E.
Take heart, my little friend, and push back your seat. Soon we'll be far away, far from the street, where you learn how to be not what you are. Up on the shoulder, there is a town with a little motel and an old movie house. Go to flower bed of
Galaxy Theater while you clear your head. I thought some daisies might cheer you up.
Steering the children wrong.
That's a beautiful song, man. Really beautiful song.
My voice is really shy. I forgot I only had 4 hours of sleep, and that's a hard song to sing. I don't know what I was thinking starting off with that one.
No. It sounded great, man. It sounded great. Let's hear another one. But let's continue this conversation with you, with E of the Eels in a minute, and we'll give us he'll give us a song off the new Eels CD, Blinking Lights and Other Revelations. That's coming up next here on Morning's Edition. It's 44 past the hour.
Made you feel like it's not such a bad world.
Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningsEdition.com, Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. We're going to land this thing. Our guest here in the studio is E. E is the lead singer and driving force behind the rock group Eels. They're currently touring to support the new album, Blinking Lights and Other Revelations. E's going to play us another song right now. Now, you just played the title track off your CD, Daisies of the Galaxy, which sounded great, I might add. It's a lot different than the album version, and I'm sure it was unique and exciting for your fans to hear that.
Oh, well, that's a nice way to look at it.
Yeah. They, you know, of course.
To rationalize anything.
Well, no, but, you know, fans are sort of like, dude, it was like a version I never heard before. He was really in it.
It was a really crappy voice.
Yeah, the crappy voice. It did sound crappy, by the way. I like it. What do we got?
This is speaking of our commander-in-chief, recently we were on the Jay Leno show, and the other guest was the First Lady, Laura Bush.
That must have been wild.
Of course, all my stupid politically correct friends were all like, what are you going to do, man?
Yeah.
You can wear a Bush sucks shirt. Of course, you can't do anything like that because A, it's too obvious and stupid,
yeah.
And B, it's taped and they're gonna edit anything out, like when I go fight the power or whatever, that out. So I figured the best I could do was to subtly sing a song about a dying America, which I'm sure was lost on everyone as usual, but that was my political statement. So-called Railroad Man.
Here again is E.
Feel like an old railroad man riding out on Blue Mountain, humming along Old Dominion blues. Not much to see, not much left to lose, and I know I can walk along the tracks. It may take a little longer, but I know how to find my way back. I feel like an old railroad man. He's really tried the best that he can to make his life add up to something good. But this engine no longer burns on wood, and I guess I may never understand. The times that I live in are not made for
railroad man. Getting on board at the end of an age. The station's empty and the whistle blows. Things are faster now, this train is just too slow. And I know I can walk along the tracks. It may take a little longer, but I know how to find my way back.
That was excellent.
Thank you.
It's really great stuff. Well, I wish you the best of luck with the new record. I want to make sure I say the name of it properly. Blinking Lights and Other Revelations. And I really appreciate you being here, E. Thanks for coming.
A pleasure. Thanks.
Eels are currently on tour. You can go to www.eelstheband.com for details. And their new album is called Blinking Lights and Other Revelations. He has a really nice feel, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really like it when guys come on and play live in studio, because it makes such a difference, because you really do get a version that you never heard before.
All natural.
Exactly. So let's what do we got to go over here before we get out of here? Now, you wanted to make an announcement.
Well, you know, Luther Vandross, who was an icon in rhythm and blues, yes, passed away last Friday, mm-hmm, after complications of a stroke he suffered a couple of years ago. And his public viewing will be taking place today and tomorrow here in New York. And it's between 4 and 9 p.m. And I'm sure there are going to be thousands of his fans here in New York going to the Frank Campbell Funeral Home on the east side, Madison Avenue and 81st Street. And then he will have a memorial service Friday at the Riverside Church, which, of course, is pastored by the Reverend Forbes.
Yeah.
Just talked about the other day.
Yeah, we got to get him back in here. I really like the way he looks at the world. Now, tomorrow on the show, comedian Greg Proops is going to be here. We've got author James Fry, who's going to talk about cocaine and alcohol addiction and his new book. How's that?
Hey, wait a minute. That doesn't have anything to do with anybody.
No, he's the one who wrote that book. What's it called? A Million Tiny Pieces? Like, it was a pretty popular book. I didn't read it, because I lived it, man. You get what I'm saying, man? I've been there. I don't need to read anyone else's account of it.
Yeah, right.
Also, if you didn't hear already, the Olympics are going to be in London.
London.
And that means that I lost $10.
Hey.
And I just bought everybody breakfast.
Hey. Yeah, it went to a good cause.
It did go to a good cause, which is very nice. I'm not I am not in any way complaining, my friends. If you don't know, the definition of treason is violation of allegiance towards one's country, especially the betrayal of one's country by waging war against it, or, more importantly, by consciously and purposely acting to aid its enemies. Karl Rove is guilty of treason for leaking the name of CIA undercover operative Valerie Plame. That's what I'll say. That's what I'm going on the record of saying, that because Lord knows that, being as devious as he is, he twisted it up, so he's never going to be, nailed for it. But I'm nailing him. I want to say it. That's all.
Hey, I remember that Ambassador Joe Wilson, when he talked to us, said that he thought the trail on who it was that leaked his wife's name went straight to Karl Rove.
That's right, and now it has.
And now it has.
For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Pakistan says Osama bin Laden may be back in South Afghanistan. This is just the kind of news that would tick off Dick Cheney, except we don't know where he is either. Pakistan officials also think bin Laden will show up at the Al Jazeera Film and Video Festival in Doha to receive the Best of Fest Award for his last anti-American message. A new study shows that bisexuality in men may not really exist. Gays and straights have decided not to recognize bisexuality, as it is equally annoying to both. Researchers said the survey took a long time to complete because it was hard to get a straight answer. A New Jersey woman was mistakenly kidnapped by bounty hunters. In a possible related story, the White House reports that Osama bin Laden could be in Rutherford, New Jersey. Today's... Today's phrase just dropped this in the conversation. What can the G8 talk about, man? What can the G8 talk about, man? The climate's already out of control, and they're the ones who did it. It's too late. The air is filled with disease. Wake up, sheeple. You're filling your lungs full of Alzheimer's, mad cow, and cancer every day. And if you think they're going to do something about it, don't hold your breath.
Wow.
God, that took a lot of breath to do that one, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to be broadcasting live from Vox Pop Coffee Shop on Cortelia Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn. That's Friday.
Friday.
Please, come on down, see me and Mark, and meet Milfington, one of them. Whichever one. Johnny K Street, Lawton Smalls, Riley and I. We're going to have books and things to give away, free subscriptions to Film Movement, which someone will tell me what that is.
Didn't find out today, did you? We'll find out tomorrow, that's for sure. And, of course, Greg Proops tomorrow.
Oh, funny man.
And the next installment of the Morning's Edition Radio Theater. It's been a lot of fun.
Has Riley.
Nice taking your money.
Oh, wait a minute.
See you tomorrow on Air America Radio.